speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The song that we just sang in some part goes along with the lesson for this morning in regard to the second coming of Jesus. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. Why? Not only because the Bible tells us that He is, but because we know that our Redeemer lives. And as He is alive today, the Scripture identifies in regard to His presence that He is sitting and reigning in heaven on high, and that He is very much aware of our lives. He is also a very part of our worship here as we assemble together. God is in our presence, and while we cannot explain that, the Bible says that it takes place, and therefore we believe wholeheartedly that God is a part of our worship service whenever we are worshiping Him in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable unto our living God. You know, whenever it comes to the coming of Jesus, some do not believe that He will not return. And in that, the reason that they do not believe that He will return is because they do not believe in Jesus. They dismiss the existence of Christ, and therefore in their minds, according to their ways of thought, because He does not exist, there will not be a return. Others, on the other hand, believe that He has returned already. There are some who identify themselves as 70 ADists, and in that they believe that in some form Jesus came back in a literal sense in 70 AD at the close of the fall of Jerusalem and at the close of Judaism, but yet at the same time the Bible is not speaking in the context of Him coming in a literal sense at that time, but coming figuratively to close out the Jewish dispensation of time. And therefore, He did come from a figurative standpoint, but not literally as some would have us to believe. Yet at the same time, it's interesting, as you study the Jehovah Witness and their faith, you'll find is that they have predicted and even continue to predict the coming of Jesus. And some amongst that religious school of thought believe that He came in the 1920s in a literal sense. And friends, again, He did not come in the 1920s, nor has He come at this very hour. It's interesting, too, as you think in regard to those who predict the coming of Jesus. You know, when the last prediction was, at least from a public standpoint, that was April the 23rd, 2018. We're still here, right? And why is that? Because the Bible identifies is that Jesus will come on God's time. And God identifies to us that indeed He is coming, and whenever Jesus comes, it will be a day like any other. You say, Kevin, what do you mean by that? According to what we find in the New Testament Scripture, Jesus' coming will be as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, it is depicted in Scripture that people were eating and drinking. Also, is that people were celebrating their marriages. They were entering into the marriage relationship. The Bible also contends in the days of Noah, whenever the flood came upon the face of the earth, is that people were laboring in the fields. And what is He teaching? He identifies is that everyone was going about in their everyday walk of life. You see, whenever Jesus Christ returns, the Moody family will be sitting down to eat, maybe. We also would say that possibly the Jackson family will be gathering together as a family to go out to a restaurant to sit down and to eat. Jimmy and Joanne, who have been planning their wedding for over a year, they will be celebrating that wonderful day because that day will have finally come and their family and friends will all be gathered together in that place where they will become a husband and wife. The Johnson family will be out and about, maybe shopping for the summer clothes now that summertime has come upon us. Mr. Wilson will be out tending in his garden, as well as Sister Henley. She will be out taking care of her flowers. Fred and Sally may be out working in the fields that day. God identifies is that when Jesus returns, it will be a day like any other. Everyone will go about doing their daily activities. And in regard to this matter, God identifies in regard to this is that we cannot know when that will take place exactly. But what we do know is that man will not be able to tell us when or how it will take place, but rather it will be exactly as it is described in the Bible. What the Bible says in regard to the coming of Jesus is that it will be sudden. There will not be any signs. Today there are a world of people in the religious world who say that we are living in the end times. And that as a result of that, that it's not going to be long before Jesus Christ returns. And you ask them, how do you know that we're living in the end of time? And they say, well, because it is going according to Bible prophecy. And I will oftentimes ask, well, what do you mean it's going according to Bible prophecy? And they will say that, you know, we're experiencing storms like we've never experienced before. We're experiencing seasons where that we will have cold whenever it's supposed to be hot, and it's hot whenever it's supposed to be warm. And they will point to the eruption of the volcano over in Hawaii, and they'll say that we're having volcanoes erupt. And they will point to skirmishes that are taking part throughout the entirety of the world, where that war is breaking out in one part of the country upon another part of the country. And they'll say that these are all signs of the coming of our Lord. And friends, those things are not signs of the coming of the Lord. We're not having weather like we've never had it before. There's recording of history where that when it was supposed to be warm, it was cold. And when it was supposed to be cold, it was warm. There's recordings of history when that we have been saturated with storms, rain, and massive floods. In fact, not too many years ago, Nashville had the 100-year flood. And what does that mean? It means that it hadn't rained like that for 100-plus years. There was a time where that they had seen rain like that and experienced flooding like that. The volcano that is erupting over in Hawaii, it's not new. We have had Mount St. Helens and other volcanoes erupt. These are all according to time and according to nature. These things take place, and they're not signs that the end is near. But rather, what God identifies in regard to Jesus' coming is that there will be no signs. It will be sudden. It will come upon mankind in an immediate fashion. But then also the Bible identifies is that whenever Jesus comes, it will come in an orderly manner. Well, what does that mean? When Jesus Christ returns, He will return whenever the Father decides that He's had enough, if you would. Is that now it is time for man to face Him in judgment. And therefore the Father will send Him according to His desires, according to His fashion. But friends, also when we think in regard to our being able to be brought up to stand before God in judgment, the Scripture identifies in regard to Jesus' coming that all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Jesus exclaimed this Himself in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 concerning the hour of His coming, when all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good into the resurrection of life, and those who have done good evil into the resurrection of condemnation. You see, in regard to the resurrection, the Bible teaches us is that the dead in Christ will be risen first. And the Scripture identifies is that those who are in Christ, who whenever they died and have gone on into the heathen realm, is that in some form, while the Bible does not fully explain or give us a picture of this, in some form, Jesus will bring them out of Hades, out of paradise. And they will appear with the Lord in the sky. And then in like figure, those who are dead outside of Christ in the Hadean realm in torment, they too shall be resurrected from the grave. And after that, then the Bible says that all who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord, they shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You know, it's interesting. Whenever people think about the coming of Jesus, oftentimes we'll hear about the rapture. And friends, there's no teaching of the rapture in the Scripture. Now, I'm very much aware that from the Septuagint, the Latin translation of the Bible, is that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, is that where they shall be caught up together in the to meet the Lord in the air, caught up together in the Latin language is translated rapturo. And that's where they get this idea of a rapture, a rapturing away of the saints. But friends, note in regard to the context, according to the original language, rapturo is not a part of the word, but rather caught up should be the way in which that is to be understood. And it's not the catching up or the gathering up of just the saints, but he says all who are alive shall be caught up. In other words, there's not going to be anyone left in the grave, nor is there going to be anyone left upon the face of this earth whenever Jesus Christ our Lord returns. But also the Bible helps us to understand in regard to the return of Jesus is that it will be visible. And when we think about Jesus returning and seeing Him in the sky, probably, if you're like me, it's hard for us to depict Him being able to be seen universally. But friends, that's a way in which Jesus will appear. We will be able to see Him in Warren County. They will be able to see Him over in Murfreesboro and in Nashville. They will be able to see Him over in California. They will be able to see Him in New Zealand, Australia, China, in North Korea, South Korea, everywhere. Whenever Jesus appears, it will be visible unto everyone that is universally alive. But friends, also the Bible depicts us that it will be audible. According to what the Apostle Paul shares with us in the context of his epistle to those at Thessalonica, he says that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Is he identifying is that there will literally be a shout? Is he claiming that the voice of the archangel will literally be heard? Is he identifying that whenever Jesus comes, we will hear a bugle effect? I don't know. But what God is showing in regard to this epistle to those in Thessalonica, your loved ones who have died and those who remain alive, they're not going to miss out on the resurrection. You see, as Paul is writing to those in Thessalonica, evidently there were some who were saying is that you had to be alive whenever Jesus comes in order for you to be a partaker of those blessings. And you say, Kevin, why would you say that? As he begins this, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." There were some who were ignorant in regard to the coming of Jesus. They were unlearned. They were uneducated about that. And that's why they had developed these schools of thought. And friends, I would surmise that some things have never even changed unto this very hour. That there might still be people, certainly, who are confused about the coming of Jesus, but might also think that you've got to be alive. And what God is saying, it doesn't matter if a person is dead and they're disconnected with life here in this world today. They can't hear what's going on. They can't see what's going on. But when Jesus Christ returns, they're going to know it. And not only are they going to know it universally, those who remain alive, they are also going to know that the end is now. The end of this world, the end of time has come. And Jesus Christ has appeared, and now we will stand before the Almighty God. You see, when Jesus Christ returns, it will initiate the bodily resurrection where that everyone will come out of the grave. And what an amazing day that will be. You know, when Jesus was here, He did that, did He not? When Jesus was here upon the face of the earth, He raised the widow from Nain, her son, showing us that while He lived upon the face of the earth, He was the power of the resurrection. Not only did He raise the widow's son, but He also raised Lazarus, a man who had been in the grave to the point where he stunk. But He found life in him. And all of those things in regard to the resurrection are presented because God wants us to understand is that as people go into the grave and they're asleep in the Lord, as people go into the grave and they're not asleep in the Lord, is that in reality, life does not end in the grave. And therefore, whenever Christ returns, all will be able to stand in the presence of our God. And in the resurrection, God assures us when Jesus returns is that there will be changes. To begin with, there will be a change with the earth. There are those who contend is that God will reform the earth whenever Jesus returns, and that we will have a heaven on earth. And friends, if that's the case, then Jesus was confused on the matter, was He not? Because remember, when Jesus was getting ready to depart from this world to go into heaven, He identified in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, verse 4, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, in the way, you know. You see, Jesus knew that in His departure, is that He was not someday going to come and reformulate the earth, but rather that in His death, in His ascension into heaven, is that He would make a place, a dwelling place, for those who would prepare themselves for that great and glorious day to be able to dwell with our God without end. Why is that important? Because Peter shares with us by way of inspiration in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and following, that this earth will melt in fervent heat. If you're living on the earth for the life that this earth has to offer, you're living for the wrong thing. Because this world is passing away, and all of the elements thereof will be burned up in that day. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through verse 17. But friends, that's not the only change that will take place. We will go through a transformation. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which could be deemed as the great resurrection chapter, where that it is defined by the Apostle Paul, is that Jesus is indeed the first fruits. And the first fruits meaning that as God raised Him from the dead, in like figure, God will raise all from the grave. And he goes on to identify in that context is that it's not possible for flesh and blood, for humanity in the form of which we now exist and dwell, for us to be able to enter into heaven. Why? Because heaven is for spiritual and spirit form. And therefore, the Scripture tells us very clearly that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to take on a new form and a new body, a spirit form, a spiritual body that is prepared for the spiritual realm where spirits dwell eternally. You see, that's important, is it not? Today we deal with sickness and disease. Today we deal with those things that terminate our lives here in this world. But the Bible assures us that whenever Christ returns, that that new body that we receive, not only is it fit for heaven, but friends, it will be fit for eternity. We will dwell on without end. When Jesus comes, the Scripture tells us that it will bring forth a decisive and eternal judgment. The state that a person is in at that time will determine where they will spend eternity. There will be no changing of your position in that day. God will not grant mercy upon those that have not been recipients of His mercy upon the face of the earth. There will not be an opportunity for one to obey the gospel whenever they stand before God in judgment. It will be as the Apostle Paul told those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, today," meaning here in this world, "is the day of salvation." You see, God gives us life. And God gives us His Word. And God gives us His church to proclaim His Word. And God gives us Christians as Christians to go about with the proclamation of His Word each and every day. And you and I, as Christians, ought to rise up to that call and to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to tell our family, to tell our friends, to tell our neighbors, to tell our co-workers, to tell our community, and to tell the world that Jesus is coming again. And that today is the time in which they had to prepare. When Jesus Christ returns, friends, it will be a day like any other. But it will turn into a day like no other. And the question that I have as we close this morning is, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? I don't know when He's coming, but I can promise you He's coming. It may be in this very hour. It may be tonight. Maybe this week. It might be within this year. It might not be within my lifetime. It might be within yours if you're young or older than me. I may die tonight. But what we know is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And God wants us to share that message and to be prepared for that day and to rest assured is that as Christians in that day, heaven will be our eternal reward. If you're here this morning, we invite you with the Lord's call as